Hey guys, welcome to Let Me Talk Podcast Season 3, Episode 72. Just a quick little update. As you guys know, we took a non-planned break because of my laptop a couple of weeks ago. And originally, I was meant to have a break for 3 weeks because I was going to LA from Monday the 15th. So I'm still going to do that because I just don't know how much time I'm going to have to be able to do the interviews that I need to do for the podcast. So I'm going to go offline for about 3 weeks. I'm still going to be posting on my Instagram and things like that, but just for episodes. The new episode after this one won't be coming out until around June 9th. I'm so sorry for that. Originally, this was meant to be the break, and the one with my laptop was not supposed to happen. So yeah, I do apologize, but I really hope you enjoy this episode because today's guest Juju is a Nigerian independent filmmaker who moved to Los Angeles for more opportunities in the film industry. And in this episode, we actually discuss her film Energy Never Dies, which has such an important meaning behind it that everyone needs to hear about. But without giving anything else away, let's get into this episode.
Hey Juju, thank you so much for coming on Let Me Talk Podcast today. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here as well. Thank you so much.
How's life in America? I feel like it's so different to Australia. I want to know everything.
Well, I've never been to Australia. I do want to. I've never been, but yes, I agree with you. It might be really different, especially in California. The weather is like you wake up today and it's hot, and tomorrow it's cold, and the next day it's raining. It's like whatever you see when you wake up, that's what it is. Like today it's a little cloudy. Yesterday it was super hot. It was like 80 degrees Fahrenheit. In Australia, do you guys use Celsius or Fahrenheit?
We use Celsius, so I feel like 80 degrees is probably like hot or like mild, more towards warmer weather.
Yeah, it's pretty hot at 80 degrees. And I had to what's it called? I had to reprogram my brain to Fahrenheit because I grew up on Celsius because I went to school in Nigeria, and then
Wow.
I'm here, and it's a whole different mile kilometers the
Yeah,
temperature.
everything's so different. I lived in LA for a little bit too, for about 10 months. I was meant to be there for a year, but had to move back because of the pandemic, which really was a shame. But yeah, I lived there for a while, but I still just used Celsius. I didn't use Fahrenheit because I was like, I didn't understand this. It's just like, why can't they just use what we use? But it's all good. Miles and kilometers, I feel like that's just like they should use kilometers. It makes more sense to use kilometers. But when
These
did
days,
you interesting, when did you move to LA? Were you like born in America and then moved to Nigeria, or did you have to get a visa and things like that to move to LA?
exactly that. I was born in Houston, Texas, and I was taken back to Nigeria as a baby because my parents are Nigerians. My whole family is Nigerian. So I was here like for like maybe 5 months after I was born,
Oh,
and I was
wow.
taken back to Nigeria, and I schooled there up until college. So even university I did in Nigeria, and then when I graduated, my 20th birthday, actually, I told my mom I want to move back to America, like, see what's out there for me. I have my citizenship, and also it won't be hard for me to settle in. So, and at that time, I was doing something called NYSE. NYSE is, I don't know if you know about in Israel when they get out of school and they have to serve their country for a year.
Oh,
In the army.
wow.
So in Nigeria we have that, but it's paramilitary, not like, I didn't have to carry a gun or anything, but you work for the military a little bit for the country, and it's supposed to be for a year. I was 3 months in, and I was like, I don't think I want to finish this. I'll come back sometime later in life and finish it. But right now, like, LA is calling me. LA is calling me. And
It's like that. It's like that. LA has just got this calling. It's you feel it's calling you when you need to go there.
Yep. It's literally a calling because at that time I was an editorial makeup artist. I hadn't even gotten into film at that
Wow.
time. I was an editorial makeup artist. So I was doing some runway photo shoots, the makeup for all of that. It was always, high fashion, not the usual makeup that people would want you to do for their wedding or their birthday. So runway was kind of like I had the buzz, but I wasn't making money because people weren't like willing to pay for you to do that on their face. It's more like collaborations with photographers. And, when there's fashion weeks, yes, that's when I get paid. So I'm like, okay, LA is the hub of entertainment. There's the fashion weeks, everything. America in general would give me more opportunity to like get my work out there. So that's like what really jolted my big move.
Yeah,
And
for
I'm here.
sure. Amazing.
Whatever.
Wow. I feel like this is so exciting, but we start with a rapid fire first. So I want people to get to know you a little bit more before we jump into like your film and TV journey and all that kind of stuff, because I feel like that's super exciting. But the rapid fire is just a quick kind of game just to learn about you in a different way. So, are you happy to play that?
Happy. I love games.
Amazing. So, the first question is, what entertainer inspires you the most? Can be an actor, a filmmaker, anyone that's kind of in the entertainment industry that you've been inspired by.
Okay. So I'm a Gemini, so I change my mind a lot. But in my current season where I am at in life, my biggest inspiration is Issa Rae. The creator of Insecure, Rap Shit, and the what's that show? The Awkward Black Girl. So Issa Rae is my
Yeah.
current.
Beautiful. And like have you always been inspired by her, or just her recent kind of content and things that she's created that have kind of inspired you in recent years?
I've watched everything she's done, literally everything, but up until this her new show Rap Shit, that's where I really got hooked as a fan. Like that's when I really started looking into her life and like her journey and how she did it all and her interviews and all, because that is a great show. It's on HBO. Like you should watch it when you have time. But yeah, no, she wasn't my inspiration, I'd say like 2 years ago. I'd say this all started like late last year. And yeah, right now I'm really, and I really want to meet her. And I know I will meet her eventually.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like there's so many people like throughout, our entire lives that we're going to be inspired by, and hopefully we can meet them. It's always a good thing when you can meet your inspirations. I feel like people say that sometimes it's not a good thing, but like I don't believe that. I don't know. I just feel like the people that like I am inspired by, I feel like they wouldn't be like rude or anything like that. So I feel like I'm safe.
You never know. You never
You
know.
actually never know, but I feel like you know how you can just you don't know, but you can just get a gist of how they kind of are when they present themselves, like even to the press or like to on their Instagrams or whatever. You kind of still can get a little bit of an idea if they're rude or standoffish, how they
Yeah, you
handle
can feel
themselves
their
with other
spirit.
people, other interviewers or things like that. I feel like that's because you can't really hide your true colors when you have to do press for like a week or 2 weeks and you're talking to the same people over and over again. So I feel like, I don't know, there's some maybe there's a little risk to a really good reward, I
Yeah.
guess.
Yeah, you have to take risks. You always
Yeah,
have to. Literally.
exactly. So the next question is, film or TV, what do you prefer to watch?
I love both. I love both. Actually go to the movies. Well, of recent it's been harder to do because it's been busier, but my boyfriend and I, we would go to the movies at least once a week. And when it's time for me to relax, most people like would sleep or call their friends. I just watch TV shows. I've finished shows in one weekend, like entire seasons. That's
I can relate. I can relate. Even if it has like 9, 10 seasons, it's gonna be done in like a week or weekend, depending how crazy. I think I watched like, it's actually really embarrassing. This is years ago now though. I watched Pretty Little Liars in like 2 days, and my mum was like, "Have you slept?" I'm like, "No." No.
It's
And
worth
I had
it.
to like go to work at the same time. Like I wasn't like just not didn't have work or anything like that. I had to like get up and be at work, and I was just so tired. Everyone was like, "Is everything okay?" And I'm like, "I did this to myself. Don't feel sorry for me."
Yeah, even during my break time at work, when I'm eating my lunch, I put on a TV show. That's how hooked I am on TV.
It's really bad. I mean, because a movie, like, you have no choice. Once you finish watching that movie, like, unless there's a sequel that's already out, you have to wait. But with a TV show, it's like, well, everything's there for me. I mean, I don't have to wait. I could just keep watching. And
There's so
yeah, and
much.
I don't have discipline. So it's a lot harder to have self-control when you don't have discipline when it comes to watching things at a decent time, in a decent manner, in a decent way. I'm just like, no, I'm happy to stay up till 6 in the morning and then regret it during the day. And then the next question is, blockbuster or independent film? What do you prefer to watch?
Blockbuster. I know this is as an indie filmmaker, I should prefer indie films, but I prefer the truth is blockbusters are they don't come out as often as indie films. So yes, I would go crazy for a blockbuster. Like I'll go see it. But it also depends on the quality of it because I'm very big on, the dialogue has to be really good. I don't like films that are too commercial. So it might not even be a blockbuster like, the big superhero films if it's in the movies. The cinema, like I don't know if you know A24 Studios.
I love their films. I feel like their films are like so great. They're not necessarily blockbusters, but they'll always, I guess, be in the cinemas or like at, on a huge streaming platform. So I feel like, yeah, those kinds of films, like, I really connect with because there's always a good story behind it.
Yes, and great dialogue. Great dialogue, great showing and not telling. Like all that is very important to me. So when I go to the movies, I make sure I'm up to date with all the new movies that are coming out, the big ones, the really big ones. But I'm more interested in the. It doesn't even have to be an indie film. It's like I said, it can be in the cinema. But yeah, as long as the dialogue and everything's great, that's what I go for. It's not about the how big or small the movie is.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the dialogue makes a lot. And sometimes if it is like not that great dialogue, the actor will kind of make that dialogue better than what's written on the page, I guess. Which is super important, and that's kind of their job sometimes, is if the writing is lacking, then the actor can come in and, make it better than what it sounds like and how it's written. So I think it can go either way. But yeah, A24 definitely 100% is like one of my favorite production companies, and what they come up with is, it's just truly inspiring.
It's always different. It's always different. And I always say this, like to make a great movie, you need a great story. Like these are the important things to me. You need a great story, great dialogue, great actors, and a great cinematographer, and you have an amazing movie. Once you get those four things right, once it's like set in stone that okay, this is good. You're gonna have an amazing movie. You can lack one or two of them, like, you know, here and there. You know, great story can, you can say, the cinematography can be okay if the story is strong and the actors are pushing it, it's great. This is missing. But once you have all four, you can't miss with anything anywhere like that. That's those are the components of an amazing movie, those four
Yeah,
things.
definitely, definitely. And the last question is, when are you most inspired? So when do you kind of find your inspiration, I guess, to write and to just do art, I guess?
When I'm by myself, and especially in the shower. Yeah, the shower is where I get all my biggest ideas. And the second place I get my biggest ideas is so I sometimes I work for my uncle. He has shipping business, and you know, sometimes if he's really, really busy, he could call me like to come fill in for him. And the office is really small. It's like a little box, like this really tiny box with a table and a computer. So when I'm there, it's all white walls, nothing, empty space. So it's like my brain has so much room to just do what it does, just start thinking. I write very well when I'm in that little box. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel like when you have time alone and you can just be with your own thoughts, it's like you have so many chances for like ideas to pop through and things like that, because other than that, we're usually always like on the go or with other people. And I feel like the shower answer has been like the most popular one on the podcast because I just feel like it's a one time, like where you just get a moment of time or 5 minutes or whatever, however long, to just be with your thoughts and kind of, whether you're running through what happened during the day or, running through a whole lot of ideas that you might have been thinking about, you have that time to kind of think about it further and depend. I mean, sometimes the ideas just don't stay. Like it's just
They come
something
in
that,
that moment. And you can't
yeah, and they
remember.
come and go and things like that. But I've definitely had like projects that I've thought about in the shower, like pretty much made and things like that. So it's insane, but it is a good place to kind of gather some inspiration. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for playing that game. That was good. You did really well.
Thank you.
But I want to kind of start with the beginnings of your journey. So how did you get into the industry, and were you always wanting to be a filmmaker, or did you kind of just drift off from that a bit and then come back to it when you moved to LA?
Okay, so for film, like I told you, I started with editorial makeup. My whole life, since I was a kid, I've dabbled in a lot of things. I've dabbled in fashion. At some point, I was making clothes with a needle and thread, and I would sell them to my friends. Like they really liked it so much, and it was all handmade, so it was like a big deal. I did fashion, I did makeup, like I said, I even started my own little pancake business at some point. So, and I also have been writing for a very long time. Like when I was in high school, I was in boarding school. So, you know, we're in school all the time for 6 years straight. I wrote like four books while I was in school, and I would give it to my friends and other people to, like, you know, read it and see what they think. And it got so big to a point they started passing my books around that till today I don't know where two of them are. Like they just went, because people were passing it around themselves. So when I moved to LA, like I said, I moved to LA to chase editorial makeup, and you know, it just wasn't working out. The photographers and people I collaborated with in Nigeria were more friendly and more open to work. But in LA, LA is so fast paced. Everybody wants money, everybody wants something. So it was hard to find that, you know, community where, you know, we work together, help each other out. So it was a lot. So I kind of like was almost giving up. Like I was struggling. I was doing all I could. And I had a day job at the, I had to get a day job at that time because, you know, bills got to get paid. So I was struggling with all that at first, and I was close to giving up. I was close to giving up. And when I was like a full year in LA, I don't know if I should call it an article. It was a tweet. I went to my notes and I wrote a 4-page long, like, you know, review of LA, my own review, and I put it on Twitter. And I went to bed. I didn't expect anybody to read it because it's 4 pages long. I'm not going to see something 4 pages long on my TL and just start reading it. But when I woke up in the morning, it had gone viral. Like there were 5,000 retweets and it was just going up and up, like 10,000 likes. And my DMs were full of requests from people that were telling me that they went through the same thing, like, you know, moving to America in general, moving to a whole new country in general. And it went viral. It went on. There were some blogs in Nigeria that carried it as well. So my mom was reading her daily news and saw her daughter's picture with the whole story. It was a so
Oh my
and
God, that's so cool though.
I know, right? I was like, God. I had mixed feelings. It's like, is she mad at me? Is she not? Like, what's going on? Everybody kind of knew my story at this point. So one of the people that reached out to me was a filmmaker, and he's like, oh, he introduced himself as a filmmaker. He would love to work with me. He's been looking for makeup artists to work with, all that. So, you know, we picked a time, we met up, and we wanted to meet up. Oh wow, this is a whole very long story. I think I should cut it short, but I don't know if you have
No,
enough
that's
time.
okay. No, keep going. That's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. It's okay. So he we arranged to meet on the 20th. I have the dates. I'm very good with numbers and dates. But on the 20th of March, we agreed to meet someplace in downtown because I didn't have a car at the time. So I was very strategic with my movement. So I was like, okay, I'm in downtown right now. We can meet this Friday. And we're like, okay, good. But I thought I didn't look good enough. I was like, this is first impression. I can't, like, you know, come out looking like this. So I told him, can we move it to Monday? So he's like, okay, sure, Monday is fine. And on Monday, they closed down everything, locked down. Yeah, that was the day the pandemic started in LA. That Monday. So everything was closed. We couldn't go anywhere. So he's like, okay, if you don't mind, I can cook for us. And I can come pick you up. I bring you to that we can talk there. So at this point, we had already been talking the whole weekend, like texting. So I felt comfortable doing that. It's fine. You can come pick me up, all of that. And got to his house. The food was amazing. He's Nigerian as well, by the way. He's the same situation with me. Like we moved from Nigeria in the same week, in the same week, but we didn't know each other. So, you know, dinner went well. It entered into something even more romantic than just work. And he got to read some of my stories and he's like, you know, you can write scripts for film, right? Because this is already all we need to do is convert this into a script. And this is an amazing movie right here. And he's, you know, started asking me questions about my background. And that's when I started to realize, like, my whole life I've actually been around film. As a kid, what did you do when you were a kid? Yeah, what did you do when friends came over to your place for a play date, or when you went to your friend's house for a play date? Like, what would you do with your friends?
Me, pretty much like right place. No, yeah, like I mean, more with my cousins, we would put on plays for our parents and things like that. So it's very much like you can see where I was gonna end up and what I was going to do because when everyone wanted to move on and play with the next thing, I was like, oh no, like I still want to keep doing these plays. Like, I don't want to stop this. It was always playing pretend, really. And then, you know, I feel like when you get to high school and things like that, it kind of, at least in Australia, it kind of just gets put into your head that that's not really something that you can pursue because it's more of a hobby and not really sustainable. It starts to all become about money and, you know, how you're going to survive and all these kinds of stuff rather than just listening to the person and actually understanding that that's a passion, that this is a passion for them and not a hobby. So, but yeah, definitely would do put on plays with my cousins and play pretend. Like for my whole childhood, I was pretty much doing that.
That's exactly how I was as well. Like when my friends would come over or the neighbors, anybody I could find, we would, like, I would basically come up with a whole story with them. We never presented it in front of our parents. I don't know why, but I would always come up with a story, give everyone their own character, and any little change or cash I had or I could find around the house, I would go use it and buy like snacks for props and stuff like that. And we would like do a whole movie, make it like I would legit make them cry so they can cry for the scene. We're not filming any of this, but it felt like we were on TV. Like,
yeah, I'm just gonna torture you for a little bit. We'll just see how we go. Definitely. Yeah. No, I feel like whatever things that you start off as a child, it's usually it usually comes from the heart. And you know, obviously we all go through life and some people and go through difficult journeys and they kind of just lose themselves. And, you know, it also depends where you grow up and things and the opportunities that you have. If you are able to pursue like something like acting or filmmaking or something in the entertainment industry. But yeah, I feel like it's really important to kind of understand that we are we're two people that have been able to overcome wherever we've like been placed and been born and have been able to overcome like the stigma around what being a filmmaker and an actor and an entertainer is, because there is a lot of stigma around it in terms of it's not really a stable career understand. Or it's not really going to get you anywhere, which is so untrue. And yes, it takes a while, but it takes a while to do everything. It takes a while to be a doctor. It takes a while to do so many other careers, but no one really sees that as impossible because they know that that's once the person is a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, during their career, they're going to be able to, they're going to have money, they're going to be stable. But yeah, I think it's really important to know that you're doing what you love and what you and the thing that you've been growing up with and been able to do when you were younger, like not film films, but you know, create films. You've been able to transfer that into your adulthood and now you're doing this, which is incredible.
Yep. It always, whatever is your calling, whatever, because everyone is brought here with a purpose. Whatever is your purpose, your calling will find a way to, like, no matter how much you bury it, no matter, like, for me, like, I was just, I love to try new things, like anything that pops. I'm very impulsive. Yeah. Not a great thing all the time.
Me too, honestly, me too. I'm at university now doing an entertainment journalism course. That was very impulsive, but like it's very rewarding at the same time. I'm still getting a lot out of it. I didn't think much about it. I knew I wanted to improve the podcast, so I was like, okay, I will do this. And it's whatever's meant to be will stick there and it will stay there until you notice it and start doing something that goes towards it.
I agree.
Energy Never Dies is the film that we're here to speak about today, which is your film. How did the process start with it?
Okay, so the film was co-directed by me. It was written by me, co-directed by my boyfriend Timmy. That's my partner in life and in business. We run the production company together, and he was the one that sort of introduced me to film, like basically pulled out my potential in the film world. So how the film started, he was hired to film a studio session with this artist from New Jersey. He was in LA, and I joined them afterwards, and we were all just having a conversation about life and everything. And that was where the word energy never dies came from. He was going on tour, and he's like, he wants to call his tour Energy Never Dies. And he explained it because, for real, energy can never die. It can only be transformed into something else. So if there's negative energy right now, you can't necessarily kill it. You have to just take that energy and transform it into something else. You know, you can actually take your negative situations and turn them into something that favors you. So that's like what energy never dies really means. So we were just talking, and Timmy was like, we should make a short film about your album, like a film that goes with the album, like, you know, the story of your album. And he's like, yeah, he hopped on it. He was so, you know, excited about it. But, you know, down the line, he wasn't really like pushing for it as much as we were. And we're like, you know what? We'll just do the film ourselves. We'll fund it. We came up with the story for it. Like, and those sto the stories were based on us as people. So there's three characters. There's Michael. Michael is an animator. He wants to publish his own comics, and his dad wants him to run the family business, the restaurant that their his grandfather passed on, like passed down, passed to him, passed to his dad, and so on and so forth. So he's like wanting to pass it down to his son, Michael. And Michael has no interest in being a restaurant owner. He wants to be an animator. And you know, this led to very serious like disagreements between them, leading to him kicking him out of his own house. So Michael becomes homeless at 17. And that story is similar to Timmy's story, growing up in Nigeria, like you talked about earlier. I didn't know this also happens in Australia. I thought it was an African thing where you want to do something creative and your parents are like, no, you have to be a doctor, lawyer, accountant,
Oh yeah, I
or
mean, like that's a generalization, but I feel like a lot of well, I'm Greek, so a lot of, I guess, my parents are not like this, and my grandparents were not like this either, but some family, like people that are from the same background or have like ethnic parents, like they would have that kind of issue. Like I'd be around him he I'd be around people and hearing a lot of the same issues, in terms of, yeah, like got to be a lawyer or a doctor or something that's making money. I think it's just that's just a thing. Like it's just life. People measure a lot of people measure success with how much money you're making. So yeah, definitely a thing in Australia, and it's very hard to have to get people to understand that being in the entertainment industry is also like. You can also make money, it just might take a little longer, but like it's a passion and it's not just a hobby and trying to convince people that it's a passion and an actual career and not just something that you do on the weekend is like really hard down here. It's like the hardest thing of all.
Yeah, it's hard explaining to them. Like the thing is, they don't understand how it works. They don't understand how the entertainment business works. And you know, human beings are just, they dismiss anything they don't understand. They hate it, they don't understand. They're scared of anything. It's just the understanding of it that would like open their minds to even like, you know, supporting you in that. But once they don't understand, they don't even want to try it. So yeah, that was Timmy's story. He wanted to be a filmmaker, but his family, they wanted him to be an engineer, and he did go to school for it. He completed the degree and everything. And then Deborah, she's her character moved from I didn't specify any African country because I wanted as many people to relate to it as possible. But she moved from an African country to Los Angeles, which is what I did. And she had a hard, very hard time fitting in at first because the shock is so different. Like, you know, like I said, I had to rewire my brain to communicate with them the way they would understand. I was getting a lot of, so what did you okay, I actually have to adjust. And that's what Deborah went through. And she kind of almost lost herself in the process, her own, like her uniqueness, her oomph, who she was when she was back home, because she was trying to fit in this new city. And then Ganga is, she's an Indian young lady. That wasn't based on anyone in particular. It was just a story that I had come across like a long time before, and I knew that it had to be a part of these three stories because she fought. She fought. Mm-hmm. She's a very strong woman. But her mother, her father passed away a couple of years before, you know, the setting of the film, and her mom was struggling to raise her, you know, just two of them in Los Angeles. And she's a lesbian. She has a girlfriend, you know, they're happy. And her mom, she comes home from school one day and her mom's like, oh, you know, someone came here and he asked for a hand in marriage. He came all the way from India. And I said yes on your behalf. Like, just like sold her into marriage. And it's like, you don't really get a say in who you get married to because you're just a girl. You're just a woman. You don't, there's not much out there for you. Like, you need a man. Which also is still, if I'm being honest, like a part of it is still my story. Cause I grew up in a household of three boys and just me. And I would see a lot of disparity in the way I'm spoken to and the way my brothers are spoken to, the kind of things that they would encourage them to do and not encourage me. I'm pretty sure they were not doing it intentionally. It's just like, it's the way they were raised. So they believe that's the way it is, you know.
Definitely. I feel like a lot of the things that our parents do, or, you know, that we witness other parents doing to their children is like, it's just how, so much of it is not their fault, and a lot of the times it's just how they were brought up, so that's just what they know. And obviously there's like exceptions to the rule, like some parents that are complete opposites to how they've brought up and how they bring up their children, but I think this film will allow people to see three different sides, three different stories, but each person will still have something in common within their lives, and I think it's really important to show, like, I guess, three different perspectives versus one. It's not often done in films, but when it is, the viewer, whoever's watching it, will feel themselves represented in some way on the screen with whatever character they relate to more, I guess.
Yes, and that's exactly what we were going for. I guess the highlight of the premiere, which was on Saturday on the 6th, the highlight of the premiere for me was two things. One, obviously seeing my name on a big screen, that was like, oh, yes, Lord, I made it.
That is actually the best thing ever. I agree. I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the second thing was like seeing people's reactions to like when things happen in the movie. It's like, They were so invested in the character. It's kind of like, oh, I can see myself in this person, and like I would hate for this to happen to me. Like I you know, and you know, after the movie, people came up to us and were like, oh my God, I cried. Like it was so, it's like, wow, I had goosebumps hearing people say they cried, because now I know like the movie did what it was supposed to do. Like it was supposed to get their hearts. It was supposed to let them know, like, you're not alone going through this thing. You're not alone, which is how a lot of people felt when I wrote that, when I tweeted that whole story, and they felt like they were not alone. It gave a lot of people, you know, hope that there's just something about knowing you're not alone in something that gives you hope that you'll be all right. you know, as opposed to like you're imagine it's the end of the world and you're the only one surviving. Even just to find one breathing person will make you feel like everything is going to be okay. Everything will be fine. And that's what that's actually the whole like vision of Kulula. The whole vision of Kulula is to make everyone feel included, everyone in the world. And that's why we told stories from different perspective and different like cultures in the world, so everyone can feel included in this world. Because
Definitely.
when you're not alone, you definitely like it's hard to lose hope when you're not alone.
100%, and I think that's what we do. Like as filmmakers, we want to make people less feel less alone and feel like, you know, if they don't have a great family life or if they don't have a social a great social life, but they can watch a film or a TV show and feel less alone. That's our jobs. Like that's what we do. You know, we have these characters that we develop and things like that. But what we don't see is like how many people are attached to like the content that they watch. And you don't get to see that a lot of the time, you know, like but it's so amazing when you see actors that have been in a long running series or whatever, and then they come out of that and they And when they actually realize how big an impact they've had on other people, like, and just that shock on their faces, it's actually amazing to see because it's like you can see that they were just fully invested in the project the whole time. And now that they've come out of that and they can see how many people are actually have they've changed their lives, like it's the next, it's the you can't even put anything on it because the feeling like leaves you speechless a lot of the time. And you know, I've had so many shows and films that I've connected with so much that I'm like, how is this even possible? And I can't explain it. Sometimes there's projects that I just can't explain why they make me feel the way they feel. It's just
That's rap shit for me. I've watched it six times. It's a
yeah.
yeah, I watched the whole first season six times now. And I'm not even from Florida. I'm not from Miami, but I don't know. I just feel so connected to the characters. Like,
And
yeah.
that's the hope for ev like whatever content we put out there, that's our hope that people connect to it the way we've connected to multiple different projects like throughout our journey so far on like in on this earth, you know what I mean? We want to have that same kind of thing with our own work. And I feel like this. I watched the trailer, obviously, because I don't have the full movie. But I watched the trailer, and I was instantly like, I felt some sort of connection because it's so universal. Although these people are very specific people and have their own journey, it's so universal to everyone. And you know, everyone is going through something. Everyone shifts energies like all the time. You can be in a really good spot in your life and then you can be in the worst spot in your life, and it's how you deal with that and how you choose to kind of change that energy that will make the difference in your life, I feel. So I feel like it's a universal theme, and anyone that watches it will be able to connect with it in one way or another.
Yes, that was the goal. That was the goal.
Yeah, for sure. And do you think that because like you moved to Los Angeles, like when you did, you have more opportunity than when you were living in Nigeria?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yes, definitely. Because Hollywood is Los Angeles is Hollywood. Hollywood is Los Angeles. And if you're able to make your way in Hollywood, you'd be able to make your way anywhere else, because Hollywood is changing now, and that is part of our mission as well, to change the fact that Hollywood is like paramount when it comes to entertainment. Like, it should be spread out, which is why we included Nollywood, Bollywood, and Hollywood in our story, because it shouldn't be Hollywood. So, but at this moment in time, Hollywood is still paramount when it comes to entertainment. Like if you make it in America, you've kind of made it everywhere else. So yes, being in Los Angeles definitely gave that huge push. Like because there's many, many more resources here than there. Part of the funds that we actually used to fund the movie was the stimulus money
I
that
mean, why not? Why not put it towards something,
Yeah.
rather than just keep it in the bank? Or, if you have that opportunity and you're making something, why not? I feel like everyone, all of us do that. It's so hard sometimes to get funding from your family and things like that. So if you can find a way to fund it yourself without having to ask people, like sometimes that's just better, more just because it takes the pressure off as well.
It
But
does.
yeah. 100%. I would definitely encourage that to use the stimulus paychecks. I mean, what else were you gonna do? Honestly, you have the money there, and if and during that time, I don't know, like I wasn't spending that much money either. So a lot of the films that I've done since the pandemic has been some of the money that I've saved from like the government checks that we were getting here as well.
And also, having access to actors that also want to make it, because in Nigeria, yeah, there's actors too that want to make it, but they're looking more for like the studios there to take them on. They're not really willing to just put themselves in something that they don't even know where it's gonna go. So, but in LA, there's so many people from so many parts of the world trying to make it in Hollywood. So it was more of a thing of, you guys, we're trying to make it. You're trying to make it. Let's come together and make something that's going to get them to notice us. So
Definitely.
it wasn't on set, it didn't feel like they were working for myself and Timmy. It felt like we were all doing something for ourselves, like we're all like investing in this film for ourselves and for like, and we eventually like built a like a family. If you were there at the premiere, you'd see it. Like we're so like close to each other. Like the director, the actor, the producer, like we're all very close because of that common goal that we all
Yeah,
had. So
for
that's
sure.
I'm grateful for that. Like I'm really, really, really grateful that we were able to do that. Yes.
Best thing that you can do is collaborate with other people. I think it's super important. And we, like in previous episodes, so many people like say it, like the power of collaboration is just so important. And you might not be like necessarily the writer or anything on it, but you don't know where that project is going to go. Like, you don't know how it can do in film festivals, who's going to notice it, where it's going to go. And you just want to be a part of it because you love it. And that's the thing. And you can be, I have so many people that I've built in my community just by like collaborating with them. Like, hadn't known them before, but collaborating with them on a film, and now they're like some of like my best friends and things like that. And you just keep going, and the collaboration and the movies just keep getting better. Whatever it is, they just keep getting better because you only learn from the last projects that you do. So yeah, I totally relate to that. And when your film does so well and is going so well, it's even more exciting because you have people to share it with. Yeah. Well, I just kind of want to ask you if there's anything that you would want to raise awareness to today, whether it's within the film industry or like something that you've learned throughout your journey that you think other filmmakers and actors or creators might benefit from hearing from, because I feel like we all have a story. We can all share something that we've learnt along the way. And you have a really interesting story, moving to LA, and I feel like that's really relatable. Like when I moved to LA, everyone wanted to know like my experience. So I feel like it's always interesting to get someone else's perspective because I mean, I came from Australia, so it's a different kind of thing. So if you have anything, I'd love to hear it as well.
Yes. Okay. So my advice to, or what I've learned along the way is you can't really wait for anybody to give you that opportunity. Yes, some people get lucky, they just run into somebody that just believes in them and just wants to help them. But when that's not happening, you just have to do it for yourself. Do it by yourself. They will come later. They will notice you later. They would like, if you have an iPhone, go out and shoot something. Because right now, iPhones are even looking better than some cameras. That's the truth.
Literally,
So,
that's not even a lie.
yes. So if you have an iPhone, your friend has an iPhone, your cousin has an iPhone. Like, just go out there and do it. You're only gonna get better. Like, with social media now, everything is really everyone wants everything quick. Like, gratification is not delayed anymore. It's like anything you want it now. It's all now. But the truth is, the success that lasts is the success that is built. So is the success that you put in your own sweat equity into it. When you don't do things when the time is right, you do things and the timing would align. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you have an idea, go out, do something about it. The worst that could happen, the absolute worst that could happen is it doesn't work out. But guess what? You still have yourself and you still have your phone and you still have everything around you. So that's just what I've learned along the way, because social media can become really distracting, seeing everybody like excelling, and it's sometimes you start to feel like, okay, maybe this thing is not for me, because Abby, she's doing really good at it, and me, I'm just here, nothing's happening for me. No, you have to make things happen for you. Just go and do, just do, just do. Yeah, that's my advice.
Go and
Do.
do. I like that. Just
Yeah.
do. I really do like that. I think it's just so important. And I feel like, if you're not getting somewhere in like acting or whatever, and you're not at where you want to be, like just start making your own content. I think it's so important, and I say this on my podcast all the time. I feel like there's no excuses. We all have cameras now. We all have so much technology that you can make a feature film on your own and get someone to see it, or advertise it. You can do all of it, and you don't have to ask anyone's permission. Like, you don't have to do what old Hollywood were doing when it was a lot harder, and they have to just go by what the studios were doing and things like that. You have so much more control as an artist now that I feel like there's no excuse really to be like, I can't do anything. I have all to be waiting by the phone for someone to help you get to where you want to be. And I actually can't remember who said it, but I think it might have been Ben Affleck. It was like, you're not going to be discovered in your room. So like, actually go and do, go out and do things, because no one's going to be discovering you if you're just sitting in your room and not really putting much out there in the world for people to see. So yeah, I feel like that's definitely go and do. That's the motto of the day, because it's only 6:30 something in Australia, so I'm saying motto of the day. But for you, but it yeah, it's really amazing just to even for us to be able to connect, like that's also something
That was from going out and doing.
yeah.
Cause
Exactly. And it's always a shock to me when people, like even from like other parts of the world, like that contact me through my Instagram on my podcast Instagram, because I don't know who's listening. Like, how am I supposed to know? I don't have actual physical faces of who's listening. I just have downloads and that's it. Like, I don't know who's listening. So when I get inboxes from people that are like outside of Australia, it's always amazing and always incredible. And when I watched the trailer, like for your film, I was like, this is like This is amazing. Like, it was filmed so well and done so well. Like, I'm so excited to watch it. Well,
Thank
hopefully,
you.
maybe I'll get a
Yeah,
chance.
well, I will send you the link. It's the link is gonna go out tonight. And it's gonna be available for 3 days.
Oh, amazing.
And take it down because we're still doing festival runs, but we want to give people a chance to watch it. It's, in case you're not able to make it to any of the festivals.
Well,
So
I'm going to
yeah.
be in LA on Monday. So if there's any,
Oh, amazing.
if there's any like film festivals that are premiering it in LA, I would for sure come along.
How long will you be here for?
If it, so I leave on Monday and then I'll be there till like June 5th, so about 3 weeks.
Okay. Okay. I don't know if we're gonna have any festivals in between that time. Our next one is actually like June 15th or so. But I would submit to one if it means for you to come and watch it.
Oh my God, no, but I'd love to meet you anyway just to put a face to
Yeah.
the name because I feel like it's so crazy. It's important to realize that like also things happen for a reason. So I feel like this has happened for a reason and maybe we can just connect over a coffee because I feel like podcast is
Yes.
good, but like connecting over a coffee is probably a little bit better. I find that the in-person interviews for me, like since I've started doing them, are like just next level. And I wish that I could have done this in person with you, but I just won't have my like podcast equipment with me because it's like the luggage and things like that. It's insane. But
Be
yeah,
fine.
I'm
Oh,
just
before we move forward, there's one more advice that I it just came on my heart, and I feel like I do need to say it.
oh my God, yes, girl, I love it. I love it.
Yes. So in this age of social media and internet and everything being online, there's less human communication, like face-to-face communication, and most of our marketing now is done online. And one thing I learned, marketing energy never dies, because we actually didn't just do online. We printed out shirts and we wore those shirts and we went to the Chinese theater. We went to University of Southern California, UCLA, like the whole team. We were actually out there sharing flyers and talking to people and like telling them about the film. People appreciate, because that's just human nature. Human beings are social animals. And yeah, social media has kind of made that easier for us, but it's not the same as human contact. Having that, like knowing that you took out the time in your day to come and tell me this. You left everything you were doing to come and tell me this. I will support you. So the festival that we premiered it at, they allocated 30 seats to us theater. And we sold 61
Wow,
seats. Yes.
that's
And that
incredible.
yes. And that was because of like that human physical contact. There were a lot of people that didn't, they were not even going to be able to come. They were tourists, but just for that simple fact that we made that, one-on-one connection with them face to face, they just wanted to support us. So
That's
that's my
incredible.
advice to anybody marketing anything. It doesn't even have to be just film. Don't rely solely on online marketing, because online there's so many bots and you might get all those likes, but it might not even be real people, and being that it's all online, they don't really know you. Yeah, they know the account is posting this, they know this is happening, but knowing like and seeing the person behind it all, seeing the work that they're putting in, they want to support you more. So as much as you're doing the online marketing, do your best to also market in person, because not a lot of people are doing that anymore. So you kind of have that monopoly, like, okay, they don't see that many. So they're surprised to see me and they're excited. So yeah, I wanted to
No,
drop that.
definitely. That's really good advice. I feel like people rely on social media a lot now, but hopefully whoever's listening and is maybe marketing their film at the moment will be able to take that advice and go to the streets. Don't
Yes,
just
go to the streets.
go to the streets. But thank you so much for coming on today. And I wish you the best of luck with the rest of the film festival run that you have with the film. And hopefully, I will be able to see you in LA and we can, you can tell me a bit more about yourself and everything like that. But hopefully, I feel like a lot of people will take a lot from this today, and it's gonna, I feel like it will, your story will relate to a lot of people because it's really common, you know, to move to a different country and kind of start your life again and kind of form connections and things like that. And a lot of Australians that listen to this will relate because a lot of them have, you know, moved from wherever they've lived in Australia to LA and other parts of the world to kind of pursue their career in the entertainment industry. So, yeah, it's super important, and just keep going is what I'm gonna say. It's just keep going, and I feel like that's what this whole episode is about. Keep going, keep pushing boundaries, and change. I feel like changing your life for the better is the most important thing.
I agree. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the talk, and I had a good time here.
You're
Awesome.
welcome. Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find us on whatever podcast platform you use. And whilst you're there, please leave us a comment, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.